If you'd like to turn with us in your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we'll start reading in the 40th verse. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. For our main thought this morning, I want to talk to you from the first part of verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Leprosy has been a disease that for some time has been of interest to me. And through the years, I have done some study on leprosy and to what extent it is. And today, it's what is commonly known as Hansen's disease. And it's a chronic bacterial infection that attacks the skin and the nerves. And it mostly affects areas such as hands and feet. But in a lot of cases, it will actually go to the nose area and attack the lining of the nose. In the United States today, it's very rare that we see any of these cases. And it's actually characterized by patches of skin lesions. And it's accompanied by this sensory loss. And this loss usually starts in the extremities around the toes and in the fingertips. And sometimes it gets so bad and there's such an eating away that gangrene actually sets in to a person that has this and they start losing all this and these body parts actually start to die. But the disease itself was bad enough, but affiliated with leprosy also came this social stigma. In all ages, it has been considered one of the most despicable diseases that there was. And the victims were actually despised throughout history and were kept in separate places. They had leper colonies and sanitariums, and they just, even in countries today, they kind of keep them at arm's length. They're just kind of despised people. In the medieval periods when they actually started coming up with the leper colonies to put these people in, in Leviticus 13, Moses actually gives us laws concerning leprosy. It said, And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Moses actually gave these guidelines as a means of protection. And it wasn't just the unclean stigma, but this kind of attached. And it stayed with them. And these lepers, they wore this distinctive clothing. You knew they're lepers. They kept their spots covered. And they actually carried rattles. And they would rattle. And if you started walking towards someone with leprosy, they were required to call out, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. In later centuries, when they actually started building churches, they actually built a window that was close to the ground so the lepers could come up on the outside and see what was going on inside the church services, and yet they would have no contact with the people that was on the inside. And in later centuries, they began to treat them like this. And some of the churches was actually known to treat the people actually worse than some of the other people. The issue of a person's wealth had a lot to do with their leprosy and how they were treated. If you were rich and you became a leper, you were thought of as a hero. It was not your fault that you had leprosy. And it was a common thought back in those days that it was a punishment from God for your sins. But if you were rich, it was not your fault. If you were poor, you were actually despised by the community, and they put you out and gave you a beggar's cup to beg with. And they looked down on you because you could not work. We see really great illustrations of this in 2 Kings. In chapter 5, we have the story of Naaman. It said, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." They lifted this man up. They exalted this man. When the king of Syria found out that this person that was such a commander in his army, when he found out about this leprosy, and they heard about this prophet Elisha that they could take him to, he come up, he got 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing to send with him as a gift for his healing. So here they send Naaman down to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. Well, he was the mighty man. He was one of the king's men. We have to treat him with royalty. And so when they brought him to Elisha, Naaman was actually offended because Elisha just sent his messenger, "Go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times." How dare he? I mean, first of all, what did he mean by not coming to see him himself? That he would send a messenger to give him the message. And then, of all the places to send him, why couldn't he just come out there and just pray for him or just touch him and heal him? But to tell him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, what a humiliating experience. The Jordan River was known as one of the nasty rivers of those days. But he didn't want to be humbled down, but they was like, "You have leprosy. It's only going to get worse. You know, what is it, you know, that you can't dip in a river 7 times?" Naaman went down to the Jordan River, and just as the prophet had said, when he came up the 7th time, he was healed of his leprosy. Just 2 chapters over, we have a story of 4 lepers. They were poor. They sat at the entrance of the city's gate. And the city was in famine. In a time of famine, people are not going to go by and give money to the poor. They're not going to go by to someone that's dying of leprosy and offer them their food. The enemy's camp was over here and they had plenty of food. So the lepers finally said, "Why sit we here until we die? If we go into the city, there's no food. And if we go to the enemy's camp, if they kill us, we're dying anyway. At least there's food there. There's a chance. Why sit we here until we die? When they started to the enemy's camp, it said, God made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. I can only imagine what it was like for these four lepers. Their condition had to be really bad. You can just imagine if you have a small thing wrong with your foot, how you will limp. But to have a disease that their flesh was actually being eaten away, each step they took was probably a painful step. They didn't know if they were taking a step to their death. They didn't know what the reception would be. They were not supposed to be going among people. They were supposed to be hollering, unclean, unclean. And yet they limped along, going to the camp where they could find food. As they made a limp, God made the enemy hear the noise of chariots. A leper's limp was as a horseman coming. When they got there to the camp that day, all the enemies had fled. There was plenty of food. In our churches today, we see the same process occurring. We may not have any cases of physical leprosy, but I'm afraid we have a spiritual outbreak. Lepers didn't just wake up one morning and be covered with leprosy. It was a gradual process. People that's on fire for God and prayed up and reading their Bible and all that, they're usually not the ones that just kind of drift out of church and just suddenly they're gone. It's a gradual process. There's the initial point where sin enters your life. Pastor Wise has preached on this numerous times. If you fail, it's very critical that you make it right with God right at that point. The first time you fail, the first time you tell that lie, the first time you say something you shouldn't have, the first time you make that sin, conviction is really strong. If you're right with God and you do something wrong, conviction is strong. You better make it right with God right then, right there. The first time you go somewhere you shouldn't go, you better make it right with God. Because if you don't, the second time will be a little easier. The third time will be a little easier. The fourth time, the fifth time, and then after a while you're really convinced within your own self, I'm really not that bad. What I'm doing is really not that bad. Spiritually, the spots have started to appear. The disease of sin is there. And it won't be long before the sin will spread somewhere else. Sin spreads. You think, I don't want anybody to know. I will cover my spots. I will put on the rags. I will cover up my sin spots. Nobody will see my sin spots. Nobody will know they're there. I will just keep them covered up. After a while, you're really not comfortable coming to church. Because you have to keep all the sin covered up. You don't want anybody to know about that attitude. You don't want anybody to know about what you've done. You don't want anybody to know about where you go. You don't want anybody to know about what you watch on television. I'll just keep the sin spots covered up. Nobody will notice. After a while, you kind of get tired of even covering the spots. And you really just get tired of even having to come. In all reality, there's probably people within the sound of my voice today that if it were not for family expectations, you would not be here. Eventually, you will cut it clean and you will quit coming. You get tired of pretending and you'll quit coming. You get tired of trying to hide your sins so nobody will know. Much too often, people become complacent with their condition, when in reality, they're spiritually dying. I want to tell you that the people in this church are your best friends. It's not the people out there in the world, in your sin colonies. It's the people here that go home and they're praying for you. You see, they recognize your rags of sin and leprosy. They see the spots. They recognize them. They're the ones that's got the burden for you. And they see the person that used to be so on fire for God that's gradually drifted away and started trying to hide the sin spots. They recognize it. This is the people that go home and lay awake at night for you and lift up your name in prayer. Look around you. Look around you. I want you to see your very best friend. After a while, you take that final step and you put yourself outside the camp. How do I know? How do I know? I've been there. I have lived the life I'm sharing with you today. I recognize the rags of spiritual leprosy. I have worn them. I've been there. It was to this type of person, a leper, society's outcast, that Jesus came and said, I will. Verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Notice what it said. Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Why, you're not supposed to touch a leper. It didn't say Jesus healed him and then touched him. Jesus touched him. We studied a few Wednesday nights ago in College in the Career, the woman that came to Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment. She was not supposed to touch him. She was unclean. She was not supposed to touch this man. And she knew just one touch would be sufficient. All she wanted was just to touch the hem of his garment, just to have that touch. Jesus touched this leper in the state that he was in. By touching him, Jesus himself should have been considered ceremonially unclean. But what these people didn't know was that Jesus was the Lord over the purity laws. Anything that Jesus touched was made clean. He put love and compassion over ritual and regulation. I think we could take some lessons in doing that. Many years ago, the Prince of Wales visited India. A barrier had been set up to keep back the masses of people that would try to get to him. Once he had arrived and he had been introduced to certain dignitaries that were allowed to come and to shake his hand, he looked past them to the masses of people and he saw the barrier. He told them, "Remove the barrier." They quickly did that, and everyone, regardless of their social rank, had access to the royalty. He shook their hands. Sometime later, the prince came back to the district again. 10,000 outcasts waited under a banner with the words, "The Prince of the Outcast." Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus left his throne in heaven, and he came and he broke those barriers for me. Sin had blackened and scarred my life. I was not worthy that anyone, let alone the Son of God, would come to me. He knew me, and yet he loved me. I was as the leper. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." I was not worthy. I had turned my back on him. I knew what it was like to grow up in church. I knew what it was like to be a Christian. But I had turned my back and I walked away. 10 years later. 10 years later. I was at an altar. "Lord, if you want me, here I am." God didn't owe me anything, but he was moved with compassion and he touched me. In the state I was in, he touched me. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords touched me. Jesus told the leper, "I will. Be thou clean." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. He was cleaned. Maybe you're here today. You're tired of the pretense. Wake up and realize it's your relationship with God. All that matters. You just need to decide within yourself, why do I sit here until I die? Please stand. I want to invite you to come this morning. If you just need a touch, it's those simple steps. As the four lepers that day, they took those simple steps. But I want to promise you, when you take those steps, Satan, our enemy, he will hear the sounds of defeat. Because one touch from God will be sufficient for all that's wrong in your life. I invite you to come. Sure.